Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans. For the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we tackle the issues and concerns vital to the welfare of our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. We've got an outstanding show coming up for you today, but first I want to thank some of the sponsors that helped make the show possible. Right, Tom?
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama, Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifeline's Counseling Service, the Veterans 211 Hotline.
And, of course, I want to thank all our sponsors and you, our great listeners. We could not do this without your support, so please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And SBN's all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion at 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. You can also check us out on the TuneIn app for your smartphone at FM Talk 106.5. And we've got a packed show coming up for you tonight. So if you want to, you can always check out scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information on the topics of the day. Later on SBN, we'll talk with Ms. Sandy Hasty with the JMH Let's Get It 5K Run to benefit the Wounded Warrior Project and the Semper Fi Fund. Also, the Commandant of the Marine Corps bans all Confederate gear from Marine bases. We'll give you the details. Thus far, he's not planning on changing the names of bases that were named after Confederate generals. So we'll see how far that goes. Also, PETA takes on the Marines. It's not quite a fair fight. And, of course, Tom's Tirade later when you heard it here first. You don't want to miss it. But first, it's an honor to be joined on SBN by Mr. Jerry Carl, candidate for the 1st Congressional District here in Alabama. Jerry, welcome back to the Scuttlebutt.
Well, good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for letting me join you tonight. Hoorah.
Hoorah. It's a pleasure to have you on here, Mr. Carl. You know, you're no novice to politics, and having served in our Mobile County Commission for the past few years, give us a little insight about your background.
Well, my background is all business. I've been in business my entire life. I've opened several businesses, primarily home health care equipment, pharmacies, and done some real estate developing. So, you know, I saw my son being deployed in the Marine Corps to Afghanistan, and I had to ask myself that hard question, what have I ever done, you know, to serve my community the way my son was doing it going to Afghanistan? So, I did a little research. I read some articles where one of the local politicians was, you know, trashing the business community. And I said, you know, I've created jobs my entire life. The very least I could do is get involved in politics. So, you know, I ran against him. I knocked on 15,000 doors by myself, and I beat him. You know, it's just a great American story. I'm living the dream.
There you go. Well, what do you feel are some of the greatest accomplishments that has occurred during your time as a commissioner?
When I took office, the unemployment rate was about 13.5%, and I ran on a platform of helping create jobs. And in the last 8 years, we have enticed Walmart Distribution Center, Amazon Sortation Center. We've helped Airbus expand. We've helped Alsol expand. I mean, all these expansions created jobs, and now unemployment rate's down around 3%. You know, I obviously I can't take credit for all of that, and I wouldn't. It's a combined effort. And I think we've got Mobile has got a government that is set up, and we work well together. We've enticed these companies to come here and set up camp, and we're just getting started. There's much more to come.
Well, I understand that, and I foresee that some of the campaign ads that are running against you now make out like you gave away the country to get these large organizations in town so that we could derive the revenue from all of the money that they spend building these multi-million facilities and all of the thousands and thousands of people that they're employing. And I mean, you know, like that's a giveaway.
This whole negative ad thing is coming out of a group called Club for Growth. They are the original Never Trumpers. They're out of Washington, D.C., and they're bound and determined to get their candidate in office, and that's what we're fighting. So when they say I gave away $20 million, I'm not real sure where they came up with their numbers, but I'm going to assume that they are counting every dollar that the state, the city, and the county combined actually put towards these projects, as well as tax incentives. And that's very common. I've got to say, though, 95% or more of the county's money went towards infrastructure. We built roads with county money,
right?
And I made sure of that. And I'm sure there's some that I may have missed that on. But I made sure that our money's here. So should these companies decide to leave, we still have the road structure there, and it's ours.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And we have all of the facilities that they're encompassed in as well. But, you know, what prompted you to run for Congress? You were doing a great job within the county.
The Marine Corps.
Ooh.
The Marine Corps gets me in a lot of trouble.
Hey, man, us, me and Cal both.
I'm watching my son. He's out. Thank God. You know, he came back without a Purple Heart, and I'm very proud of that. But he's had some health issues. You know, being a Marine, they don't issue those plugs out in combat, I understand, for your ears.
Right.
So he has really struggled through the VA system trying to get help. And I understand the management side of health care. And I've been studying the VA system. And I told my wife, I said, if there ever comes an opportunity that I can run for an office and make a difference in the veterans' health care, I'll run for it. And that's what I've done. I've given up my county commission seat, which I've spent the last 8 years, and I've loved it. I've enjoyed it. And I'm going to run for this, and we're running, obviously, for this congressional seat. And I just look so forward to working, with the VA system itself and trying to get some things turned around and fixed.
Well, you're running for the seat in a phase of Congress that actually helps control what our veterans are getting and what they're not getting. And actually, we've had Bradley Burns on here on numerous occasions, and he indicated at that time that 80% of the things that his staff does in Washington, D.C. is taking care of veterans and trying to get the veterans their benefits and solve the problems that are occurring.
Exactly. And I've talked to him at great lengths about this, and that's exactly, you know, what we'll be facing. But I think we've got so much we can do within the VA system itself. Let me give you one example of the VA system. Again, I know I'm preaching to the choir here,
yes,
but
sir.
It goes just like this. The VA system is set up, for example, if they have a doctor that is retiring, quitting, doing whatever, but they're going to be leaving in June of 2020. Let's just use that as a date. They cannot start replacing that VA doctor until that doctor is physically gone in June. It may take them another year to recruit another doctor to replace because the VA is it has a hard time recruiting physicians, mainly because of pay. But so it may take them a year. So that backlog of patients just gets pushed off on whatever right. doctors are left there. So most of the time, the veterans have to wait 6 months on a simple procedure right. or a simple system, and then if they lose a doctor in between, they get kicked that back another 6 months.
Right. Well, let's take a little short break here, Mr. Carl, and we'll get a word from our fine sponsors that help us promote and stay on the air for these
Fantastic.
Shows. And if you will, hang on. We come back. We've got some other questions for you, sir.
And Cal Walters, radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM, firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Hey, check us out on Facebook. Lots of good information gets posted there. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN, and it is a privilege to be speaking with Mr. Jerry Carl, candidate for the 1st Congressional District here in Alabama. Jerry, thank you again for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure.
Jerry, it's a pleasure to have you on board here, and for the benefit of our listeners that may not be aware of, you do, as you said, you do have a son that was served in the Marine Corps and actually was in Afghanistan for a while.
Two tours in Afghanistan. That's the longest 16 months of my life. I have a whole new respect for the military now.
Well, you know, and that being said, I think that has been some of the initiative that you picked up on is all the scenarios that he's had to go through with trying to get his VA service and get his medications and what have you from our VA system. I'm sure you've learned some valuable lessons from that.
I have, and I think President Trump and Bradley Burns have done a great job trying to correct a lot of things. I just think we need to take it to a new level.
Right.
I think privatizing a lot of the VA system is a good answer. It's not going to be an easy task by no means, but I think privatizing it would certainly make it more competitive and make it a better service.
Well, you know, that being said, I talked to a Vietnam veteran, a friend of mine today that I've helped get into the VA system and all, and he just received from the VA center, the new VA center that we have out there, and you're familiar with that. Maybe you could enlighten us a little bit on that. But they gave him a paper and told him that if anything happened to him, he's like 82 years old, he's had three or four or five cases of cancer, and advised him, said, see this number on the bottom of this paper? If you need to go to a doc in the box, you go to any one of them, they will accept this paper, and they will accept that number that's on the bottom of the paper, and we will pay for whatever they do to you or for you.
And I hope that's the truth. I've been told that by a couple of people that it doesn't quite work that
well,
easy or that
me
simple.
Either, but.
And I know it's hard to imagine the federal government being simple. I hope that's true. I truly do.
I do, too. I certainly do.
But I'm very cautious in my beliefs of that until I see it.
I'm going to have to see it in action and see it happen to know that it's real. I mean, as far as I'm concerned now, it's a hearsay. And
right.
I just pray that it does occur and that it happens that way. But another thing that's really on the forefront of our veterans and our veteran situation now is that veterans currently can have their Second Amendment rights taken away to purchase firearms and without due process, simply by an administrative decision by a faceless person in the VA healthcare system.
Exactly, and I think that's totally wrong. I think the VA system has got no business doing that. I think our court system, I think people should have the right to be heard, not a doctor over a screen or a monitor that talked to a patient and viewed that. I think that those are rights and privileges that are given to us by the Constitution. We certainly don't need the government playing around with that.
We certainly don't. You know, and it's unbelievable that that could even occur. I mean, here you take a veteran that has served this country and fought for this country, and without our veterans, we wouldn't have a damn country, excuse my French.
That's the truth.
But, I mean, that's the truth. And then they're going to tell him that he can't have a weapon, and he is a trained weapon handler, to a trained fighter by the federal government? Come on.
Well, again, our Second Amendment rights was given to us for a reason, to protect ourselves from a rogue government and our own government.
Right.
And you know, everybody's kind of afraid to say that, but I'm not. You know, that's our only defense. That's our last line of defense.
Right.
And the biggest military in the world is the hunters in America.
Yes.
And most of those hunters are, you know, obviously a lot of military there, and you know, we got a huge military there. I'm not insinuating that we need to do something with it.
Right.
Well, we certainly don't need to disarm it.
No. No. I mean, Jerry, that fact that we have all of those people that are bearing arms and have arms, whether they're for their personal protection or whether they're for going to hunting, or whether it be deer hunting or duck hunting or squirrel hunting or whatever, has kept a lot of countries from attacking this country, because they know we have weapons and we know how to use them.
Right.
I mean,
they want to confuse a 30-round clip or an automatic gun. They want to compare that to hunting. They said that when the Constitution was written, those weapons weren't even created at that time. Well, the Second Amendment was never written for hunters.
Right.
It was written for citizens to be able to protect themselves from a rogue government.
Right. That's so true, sir. And I'm glad that you're on that page. You know that and
oh, yes.
I know that you'll follow through with it. And, you know, I feel real good about your campaign. I'm still bothered about the fact that we're being slammed with all of this paperwork and all these TV ads and radio ads and all the printed paper that's getting in our mailboxes at our homes. And they're not even using your competitor or the other candidate's name.
Well, my grandfather used to always say, follow the money and you'll figure out where it started from.
Right.
That's coming from a group out of Washington, D.C. called Club for Growth. They're ultra, ultra, ultra conservative businessmen that want to control the market. So they've poured $500,000 in this campaign so far, and I'm sure they're going to pour more. I mean, this is a typical David versus Goliath scenario here. But I got news for you. I don't lay down and I don't roll over.
There you go.
And I'll fight it to the bitter end. But we're going to continue pushing our message. We're going to continue with our conservative ways. Now, they are the original Never Trumpers. People need to understand that.
Right,
this is
so
where
true.
The Never Trump movement actually started, is the money that's being poured into that campaign.
And it's all there. But, you know, that tells me, though, Jerry, that they have asked, I believe they interviewed you in our conversations, but that they have not asked you, and they've asked the other campaign person, as they want this and they want that, what is your opinion? I think they turned them down and you wouldn't accept their money.
Well, there was four of us that actually interviewed with them. We interviewed with several groups just like this, so it's not an unusual thing to be interviewed by them. But one of the questions that they asked is, would we be willing to vote down or vote with them the act to vote to do away with the frigate program at Austal Shipyard? And that was the most bizarre thing. We almost thought they were kidding when they asked that. But when we started questioning it, they said they felt like the military was over budget. They were using too much money. And they figured the frigate program was the softest place that they could get money from, you know, pull money back from the military, the Navy primarily. So, you know, we've got 4,500 people that work there today. If that frigate program comes through, there's probably going to be another 3,000 plus there. So you're dealing with 7,000 lives when you talk about pulling that program, not to mention national security.
National security,
with new vessels
right.
that are protecting our country. So I knew when I left that meeting that I had no interest in them and they had no interest in me. I don't know what kind of questions they asked my opponent. I wasn't there, but I'm assuming it was some of the same questions, and surely he answered
so.
Them the same way I did.
Yeah, I would think so. And, you know, well, and it's just neat to us to know that you didn't accept the money and change your opinion and change your attitude about why you're running to start with.
Well, they believe in open borders.
Oh,
they
hell
believe in,
no.
I mean, oh, when I questioned no. them on the open borders, they said they wanted cheap labor. Open borders does not fix that.
No.
Open borders cost us, the taxpayers, fortunes dealing with drug dealers, dealing with child smugglers. I mean, we deal with it every day on a local basis.
Yes.
So open borders is not a fix to anything. Why do you have borders if they're going to be open?
Right,
across?
Yeah. I mean, why have a border? Why have a flag? Why have a damn country to start with? Just let's have an open plains here or something, you know?
But if you're a bunch of greedy, ultra-conservative business people and you want cheap labor, you open the borders and bring them in and pay them less.
All right. Hold on a minute, Jerry. We're going to get a break all here. Right. And as always, you can go to scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. And on the other side, we'll talk again with Mr. Jerry Carl, and Miss Sandy Hastie is online with us, and we'll talk to her about her run.
Men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret, silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land.
This is my rifle. There are many like it, but this one is mine. My rifle is my best friend. It is my life.
I must master it as I must master my life. Without me, my rifle is useless. Without my rifle, I am useless.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM, firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters, along with Tom Claxton. We're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. Hey, check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN.
And we certainly want to thank the fine folks that continue to help make this show possible. The battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifeline's Counseling Services, the Veterans 211 Hotline.
And again, it is a privilege to be speaking with Jerry Carl this evening here on SBN. Jerry, thank you for taking the time to talk with us and let our listeners know what your thoughts are on what's going on with our veterans and military.
My pleasure.
Jerry, being that your office will, one of the major things that it will be doing is working with our veterans, do you have any priorities for our military and our veterans if elected?
You know, my priorities is the veteran health care. Obviously, I really want to focus on that and see if we can get it cleaned up, and streamlined a little better, maybe privatized. I know that's a big dream, but also we have to protect our soldiers that are in the field. You know, we've got to provide them with better equipment.
Right.
You know, this refueling. Aircraft we've been waiting 10 years on. I was meeting today with some folks. It's 10 years, and they still don't know when they're going to deliver it. We could have built that plane 7 years ago. It could have been delivered.
Right, right.
So, you know, we've got to start pushing some asking some strong questions up there and quit just being like everyone else and kind of moving with the flow.
So
I promise the veterans health, community that if I'm elected, I will represent them and represent them very well. They'll be proud of it.
That being said, is there any particular committees that you would like to be on?
I'd like to get on the Armed Service Committee. I would love to get on an ag committee. We have a very large agriculture district down here. I'd love to represent my farmers. My grandfather was a cattle farmer, and I just have a passion for that. I'm not a farmer. I can't grow a plastic plant. But
you sound like me. I could paint my thumb green.
Around the house, we can kill plastic here. But I love to eat. I love the assortment of fruits and vegetables and beef and lambs and porks and things that all are based on our agriculture community. So, you know, we've really got to shore up and start supporting these people that support us so much in this district.
I'm
trying to follow in behind some great people that have done a fantastic job, Bradley Burns being one, Joe Bonner being one, Sonny Callahan being one. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. So it's just an honor to even be considered to follow in behind those men's footsteps. Oh, and Jack Edwards, of all people. I mean,
yes.
Jack was what a diplomat he was.
Oh, unbelievable. And look at all the things that all those fine fellows and our representatives have done that you are talking about there. That's some big shoes to follow in there, big guy.
Well, you just can't have fear. I mean, you just got to push forward. You can't, you know, you can't be driven by the next election. You have to make hard decisions and make them fast and just keep moving.
Right. And you know, and that is so true. One of the things that we've covered a lot of area here now, but you're in a pretty heated runoff campaign here, but just from out of your mouth to our listeners, why should voters consider you over your opponent?
You know, I have long-term vision. I don't look at short things. I mean, this is a two-year position that I'm running for. I don't look 2 years. I'm looking 10 or 15 years down the road. I'm looking long past when I get out. And we've got problems that will take a whole lot longer than 2 years to fix. But we have to get the ball moving. We have to get it in a position where whomever takes over, whether it's 10 years, 5 years, 2 years, whatever the magic number is, when we pass that ball off, it's better than when it was handed to us.
Right. And so that's the thing.
We've really got to, you know, I've got a passion for this type of stuff. And I love serving the community. I love being tugged at. I love being stopped in the grocery store being asked questions. I love to fix problems. I love to see people smile after I get through working with them.
That's right. And, you know, and that's where we need to be going with this, you know. But we certainly appreciate you taking the time to come on
My
board
pleasure.
With us tonight.
And thank y'all for your service.
Well, you know what? We still feel like we're serving our country. We're trying to get the word out.
I talked to an old vet the other day, and he was saying he was ready to get called back up. He's in his 70s, but he said he was still ready.
Well, I'm in my 80s, you know, and I would go tomorrow, but they said they didn't need any old folks. I said, well, hell, I could serve coffee and make coffee or something, you know.
Well, Tom, I heard they were holding you back for breeding stock. I'm not real sure.
I'll accept that.
All right.
I'll accept that.
Y'all
but thank you again for joining us.
Please, everyone, please get out and vote March 31st, 19 short days away, and vote for Jerry Carl for Congress.
Yep. And thank you again for joining us. Now, where can our listeners go to get some more information about you and your campaign?
www.jerrycarl.com, or you can just Google Jerry Carl, and or Facebook, just Jerry Carl for Congress.
Awesome. All right. Appreciate having you on, brother. Good luck on your campaign.
Thank you, guys. Y'all take care.
Yes, sir. He's got a fine young man there for a son, Marine, that's had some, you know, typical problems. If you've been in Afghanistan for two tours of duty, you know they've got some problems. But we have now a lady that's coming on board with us, Miss Sandy Hastings, and she's got some information about an awesome 5K run that she's going to have this Saturday morning. Miss Hasty, will you bring us up to date?
Hey, good evening.
Good evening to you. And thank you for your son. I know you lost him due to some, we don't even want to go there. Why? But he would, how would he serve two or three tours in Iraq?
No, sir. He was just in the Marines. He works on helicopters in North Carolina.
Okay. All right. Well.
Yes. And we actually, this Saturday, it starts at 10 a.m. We have a 5K that will be headquartered at the Paint Store, which is right there at the Loop by the Old Mellow Mushroom.
Isn't that where the old Corbett's restaurant used to be for the older people?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
For us old folks, that's correct.
Yeah, at the Loop.
Yes, we do this 5K to raise money for the Wounded Warrior Project and for the Semper Fi Fund, the America's Fund.
Right. Neat. Well, you
know, sir.
You could. How many years now have you been doing this, Sandy?
This will be our seventh. So we have done it for 6 years now and have been very successful, actually, in donating in the memory of my son.
I understand it. I heard some figures somewhere a total around close to $100,000.
$103,000, yes, sir.
I was close to it.
Yes,
it must have been some good figures.
$97,000 to the Wounded Warrior Project and close to $6,000 for Semper Fi Fund.
Awesome.
We actually only added the Semper Fi Fund 3 years ago. We decided that I didn't even know the Semper Fi Fund existed, to be perfectly honest.
I think you were at the same meeting.
Until I went to a fundraiser where I met you.
Right. I think you were at the same meeting where I found out.
We decided that we were going to give them 10% of our profits from that point. So for 3 years, we've been donating to them as well.
That is awesome. And we'll certainly be with you Saturday morning with the Honor Guard and fly the colors and help get your race started.
That would be amazing. Thank you so much.
We'll be there. Hey, Miss Ace, we thank you for being the mother of one of our great Marine servicemen, and thank you for all that you do for our additional vets. God bless you.
It's my honor. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to get back here in a second. I'll get Mr. Cal on the line. Cal, you on board?
The following may not necessarily represent the views or opinions of this station, but they're coming around.
Mr. Tom Claxton.
I recently attended a viewing of the World War I film 1917. I was surprised and pleased to see that it was still in theaters, considering that it opened over a month ago. The film, which has garnered accolades and nominations in a number of categories, portrays the story of a battlefield in northern France, where British Lance Corporal Tom Blake choose his best friend, Lance Corporal Will Schofield, to join him on an assignment. Only later does the duo learn of the dangerous nature of the mission to hand deliver a message to a colonel leading another nearby battalion in harm's way. Blake also learns that he is carrying mission vital messages to the fate of his brother, who is amongst those about to fight. In case you have not watched the film yet, and Top Cat encourages you to see it in the theaters, the protagonists have to cross no man's land into what they have been told are now abandoned German trenches to get to Mackenzie. The message, which must reach its destination by dawn the following day, is for the colonel to abort his troops' attacks on his supposedly retreating Germans who are in reality lying in wait. The Germans have planned this deception for months. The lives of Mackenzie and his 1,600 men are at risk if the message does not make it through in time. The story is one of Blake and Schofield as soldiers in the biggest picture of the war, trying to stay alive, as friends, and as human beings who have their own motivations to survive on this mission. It is also a timely story in that just a couple of months after the events in the movie, the Bolsheviks, under the leadership of Vladimir Lenin, would seize control of Russia during the October Revolution. Lenin was a pathetic loser, much like another who would rise to dictatorial power in Germany, Adolf Hitler. In the late 1800s, as a precursor to modern community organizers such as Barack Obama, he attempted to enlist workers into the Marxist working class cause. He was arrested in 1895, jailed for a year, and exiled to Siberia for three. At the end of his exile, he fled to Western Europe, where he furthered his revolutionary activities. By 1903, he and his fellow travelers in London had established, and this is important, the Russian Social Democratic Workers' Party. Yep, that's right. For those of you who playing at home, good old Commie Lenin started out as an aw shucks Democratic Socialist. But it gets better from there. Things weren't necessarily moving along fast enough for some of the revolutionaries, so Lenin's Bolsheviks, who advocated militarism and violence, split from the peaceful communists who just wanted to vote their way to everyone else's money. Over the ensuing years, including 1917 and World War I, which Lenin opposed, he made a couple of ventures into the homeland, even being secreted in by the German government. In July of 1917, with the Tsar having been toppled and the government consisting of various regional subjects or committees, he was forced to flee to Finland, but his cause for, quote, peace, land, and bread was met with increasing popular support. I guess he couldn't call for student loans to be repaid or free birth control back then. In October, Lenin secretly returned to the capital, led the coup, and proclaimed Soviet rule. Lenin, of course, became the ruthless dictator of the communist empire that would become known as the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, or the USSR.
I'm back in the USSR. You don't know how lucky you are, boy. Back in the USSR.
From their rise in 1917 to the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989, the, quote, democratic socialists were responsible for the deaths of 15 million souls in their country, for various and sundry causes. Ironically enough, many died in Siberian gulags. I could give you the numbers who have died under the communist yoke worldwide in the same time period, but I'll leave you to do some of your own research. I am sure that it will make your fear of the coronavirus shrink, to say the least. So, let's fast forward to the good old U.S. of A. and the farce that is a Democratic Party primary. Okay, I have to ask, can they actually call themselves a Democratic Party? For real? It was over a year ago in my tirades destined for the dustbin in a tangled web that I called out Democratic activists such as AOC, the Squad, and ultimately Uncle Bernie as hardcore communists. Yes, you heard it here first over a year ago. I called them out as communists, not the Democrats that they are masquerading as. Surprisingly, it has taken the mainstream media and even the big names in the conservative talk realm, such as Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity, until just a couple of weeks ago to catch up with the proper label for the front runners in the Democratic Party, as they have contorted the English language in general. The Dems went from progressive in the early 1900s to liberals mid-century to progressives after the turn of the century, to socialists now. You just can't spit out the C word yet. And although their nomenclature has changed, their underlying dedication to communist policies has not. Where we believe in God, they pray to the government. We believe in the individual, where they enforce the collective. We prosper in free market capitalism, and they favor state control of everything. Since FDR's New Deal and the beginnings of the socialist welfare state, they have stealthily utilized the facade of the Democratic Party to advance their communist policies. It was only with the rise of the presidential candidate Bernie Sanders to front-runner status that the party was forced to publicly admit that they were a party of socialists. His fate as a candidate is still in the balance. However, history tells us that socialist/communist doesn't work. The Nazis were socialists, national socialists, which simply meant that their allegiance was to a national collective. Of course, their experiment failed because the free nations of the world rose up to defeat them in World War II, largely because of the support from the U.S. for England and the Allies. Democratic socialism, which is favored by AOC, Bernie, and the Democratic Party in the U.S., was the political system of Lenin and was focused on a more international, global system of uniting the workers of the world. Its progeny, the USSR, came to an end with the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989. Again, it was the United States with Romulus Magnus at the helm, which confronted the bear and brought the Cold War and the Soviet dream of a communist utopia to an end. Reagan faced tremendous opposition from then-Democrats as he worked to defeat Moscow, with some, such as the bridge jumper himself, Teddy Kennedy, actively courting the Kremlin to seek Reagan's defeat. Fortunately, Reagan and freedom won out, and the shining city on the hill led the world to freedom once again, with the real possibility of Bernie Sanders, who loves the literacy indoctrination programs of Castro and chandeliers in the subways of Moscow, and according to the media, is favored by communist Vladimir Putin, attending to the nomination of the Democratic Party, one must wonder who will stand for freedom against the opposition regimes of the world the next time dictators dare to set the world on fire. Sanders? Pocahontas? Biden? The other Biden? The American haters in the squad, the traitorous Obamas who dump cash on the Iranian mullahs, I shudder to think how any of them would welcome their fellow travelers in with open arms to squash the freedom so many patriots have fought to defend. However, we have a choice to stem the tide of the commies. Donald Trump and the red-blooded American patriots who have defended this nation since before its founding. Remember, not only do we believe God, not
dadgum government, you sorry sons of
but
bitches.
We cling to our guns, and we know how to use them. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton, locked and loaded on the fire line.
Understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack!
That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Rebel. And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans on 106.5 FM, streaming live on scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Along with Tom Claxton, I'm Cal Walters, a couple of old Marines with just a little bit to say. The First Amendment right to say it and the fighting spirit to keep it. And a great tirade there, Tom.
Yes, sir. I totally enjoyed that one.
Well, you know, I mean, it's tough when you're confronted with the truth of history, although they don't really teach history in our schools anymore. To see exactly where we are going. But, you know, when you look at, you look at folks like the guests we've had on, Jerry Carl, who is running for the 1st Congressional District seat, talking about how he wants to make sure our men and women in uniform have the tools that they need and that we're able to continue to keep our military strong. You know, and you've got the folks out there like you and I and the veterans out there who are willing to stand up and say no and continue to serve. You got to think things are moving in the right direction.
I'm on your page, brother. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, well, real quick, PETA apparently has decided that Marines need to stop guzzling snake blood during jungle training. Apparently, PETA is more concerned about the snakes. You can't make this stuff up. You know,
where did you grab that crap from?
They drink snake blood. It's all over. But anyway, that's going to bring us to the close of this edition of the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans. Thank you for joining us. Hopefully you'll join us again soon. Until then, please keep our warriors in your prayers, especially those in harm's way. God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We'll catch you on the other side.
I got to hurry up and get out of here and go drink my snake blood. Hoorah!